You're listening to the Jason Greger Show podcast brought to you by Lakewood Chev, where in the month of November, they have Prize Mountain. You can win gifts with your purchase. Also, you get 0% for 84 months on select 2018 models or up to 11,000 total value on select 2018 models only at Lakewood Chev.
Alan Mitchell, I know you love the waiver wire, and I couldn't imagine how your heart just skipped a few beats when you saw the Oilers actually used it today and picked up Zykov. Your thoughts on the pickup of this young Russian?
Well, you know, I was a little surprised because they passed on some really good players in the past, like Magnus Pajärvi and others. So it was interesting when they finally did it. I think this is a really, really good bet. I don't know that he'll end up playing for the Oilers. His foot speed is a little bit of an issue for him, but he can shoot the puck. He's led the AHL in goals with 33. He's a righty, but he can play left wing. And for me, it's just another example, along with several others that they picked up over the year and moved up and down. They're looking for wingers. And I mean, it's up and down the lineup. They need skill wingers. They're still auditioning guys like Patrick Russell and others. They're having a long look at everybody. And I'm at a point now where I think that you know, maybe even a guy like Jujhar Khara and others aren't necessarily safe. Hitchcock is sort of he's a very, very aggressive coach, and so he'll want to have people who are scoring and productive at least a little bit offensively in that lineup. So it's a great opportunity for this young Russian, and I do think that there are players on the roster now who are, they're going to have to start scoring in a quick hurry here because Hitchcock's going to be impatient for offense.
Well, just say his name. I mean, you're skirting around the Ty Ratty discussion, low type. Is that the guy you're talking about? Because I don't see really what the difference between these two players are.
Here's the thing about Ratty, and I thought Hitchcock's point about him being a different player than when he coached him was interesting. But, you know, coaches, as you know, they absolutely do what they want, and he's just not that into Ty Ratty. I think that's fair, right? Mm-hmm. You know, he hasn't played him very much. The last time he was in a game, I think he had less than 4 minutes. Ratty is not as physically big, but I think he's improved as a skater since he arrived in the NHL a little bit, and I think he's more aware as a two-way player. So sometimes coaches, they get stubborn. I mean, those of us who remember Craig McTavish employing Toby Peterson on the power play, you can get stubborn in a good way and stubborn in a bad way on a player. And you know, look, Hitchcock's only been here for, 10 days, so he may play Ratty tomorrow night, and he might score a couple of goals, and there we go. But so far, I think those fans who are watching and saying, why isn't Ratty get a chance? They probably have a good point. He's certainly been a productive player when he's been healthy and in the lineup this year.
We got the Lowdown Low Tide host, Alan Mitchell, on with us right now here on TSN 1260. I am Jason Strudwick. When I'm looking at some of the fortnight for a Hitch here in Edmonton, you know, everyone seems to be worried about the offense. But, you know, I feel if you can really get that good structure on defense, you spend less time in your own zone. So guess what happens? The puck isn't in your zone. So if it's not in your zone, it's got to be some other zone. There's only two others. Let's hope it's further up. Is that a fair assessment of what we're seeing from Hitch and how it can evolve from good defensive structure, what it can mean?
Yeah, this is so many times when Hitchcock talks, it reminds me of Craig McTavish when he was coaching the Oilers. And he always used to talk about, you know, keeping the puck 200 feet from the other guy's net. He had a fourth line when he came in, or at least maybe it was Kevin Lowe's last year. They had Devereaux, Dowd, and Larrack. And Larrack was brilliant at just keeping the puck along the wall in the offensive zone. And they didn't score that much, but everybody was getting a rest. Dougie Wade and Billy Guerin were getting a rest. And those guys kept the puck miles from harm. I think that's what the Brodziak line is doing now, and that's sort of, I think, what Hitchcock does. He shortens the game by having the puck in the other zone for a long time, and then when he can make hay on the power play or utilizing Connor McDavid and Nugent's line, he does. But that's basically his strategy, is he's suppressing shots against, and as he said last night, they want to suppress high danger chances against too. They're not quite there yet, but the structure is improving.
I got to share a quick story about George LaRocque. So when they were closing the Rexall, I got to spend some time with George LaRocque, Marty Riesner, and Pisani. And that was a line for a while. And they were talking about what George would just, they'd be on the bench. And George, you don't know George, he's got a massive personality.
Yes.
He's like, boys, just put the puck in my corner. So they would dump it into this corner. And George would go in there. And I remember playing against him. He would just leave it on the wall, like just grinding up and down the wall in the corner for like 30 seconds. And meanwhile, Pisani and Marty Riesner would be trying to get open and be like, pass it. And while they're going in front, they'd get cross-checked and slashed. And like they said, they would never touch the puck for, and like, you know, another 10 seconds to go by. Then finally, George had run out of juice and he'd have to leave the puck and he'd change. And they said that he'd come back to the bench and he'd have his mouth guarded and he'd be just dripping sweat. He's like, great shift, boys, great shift. Like, they'd be like, Marty Reeser's like, we didn't do anything.
I can't play with George anymore. I keep getting cross-checked for nothing.
That's exactly. Marty Reeser's like, I'm in fright getting cross-checked by whoever. Name a huge defenseman. And George's got the puck in the corner. And he comes back. He's like, great shift. They said, the funniest part is George. Marty goes, yeah, we'd be out there for 40 seconds, but George would get so tired, we'd have to sit for like three shifts so that we'd get our energy back up. Oh my God, it was the funniest story. Like, I was just dying about George LaRocque and him and holding the puck. So I don't think we're quite seeing that with that the grumpy old man line, but
good job.
Anyways, are we still on air? My next question is about the fourth line. And I think you're 100% on. I think that third line, he's trying to get something where he knows he can trust the guys. You know, the offense, you know, a couple chances last night, you know, Lucic off the knob, also wrapped it a couple times. Could have maybe been a different outcome. But either way, the fourth line, though, I keep thinking those comments he made before the game, the last game in the morning skate, and he said, I'm trying to, I think it's extend the depth on this team. So, you know, Spooner, I don't know if he's ideal fourth line center, but do you think he's trying to find a line that he can spot in and have some good matchups? And maybe it's a Zekov, maybe it's a Ratty, maybe it's Jujar, maybe it's Spooner, but somehow get some offensive time out of these four guys? Or is that a bit of a reach considering the personnel and kind of where the Oilers are at?
Well, I think two things. Number one, he, unlike Todd McClellan, really likes to use the timeouts to get McDavid out there more. So I think we're going to see, no matter who's on the fourth line, they're probably not playing as many minutes as Todd McClellan's fourth line. But I also think that there's room there for, and I don't want to call it a spare parts line, but, you know, you could, you know, if they come out Saturday night with Ratty, Spooner, and Zekov, well, that's a little more maybe skill than they've had on the fourth line. And if they need a penalty killer, maybe they, you know, they would throw a veteran guy on there, maybe Reeder in his first game back or whatever, although he'll likely play farther up the lineup. So, I mean, I think at some level, Hitchcock's fourth line might be a little bit of a spare parts line. And that's, you know, that's maybe a good idea, too, because I think there's going to be times where he'll want to, you know, like last night, Cassian took a penalty he can't take. Now, I get it. I understand there was frustration there, but you're already down a man, and he took a penalty against Doughty for a face wash. Well, you know, Hitchcock probably wants somebody he could maybe elevate or use on the penalty kill, something along those lines. And I think Spooner played 6.5 minutes last night, something like that. Yeah. I don't think you're going to have any, if the fourth line gets that kind of 5-on-5 minutes, I don't think they can have an impact.
And that's the problem. And so you're looking at the minutes, the third line's minutes, as we're joined by Alan Mitchell from the Lowdown with Low Tide, the third line's minutes have been bumped up. You know, those guys have gone up, some of them have gone up 3-4 minutes. You know, that's pretty significant. And then you got the top two lines whose minutes probably aren't going to change dramatically, although Nuge got a little bit shortchanged last night. So, you know, it's hard. You're not taking them from 97's line. You know, Nuge, I guess you can squeak a little bit. Then the third line just got elevated their time. So there's only so many minutes to go around. So you got to find somehow a combination and get something accomplished with very well. And another part is very little special teams time because they're not getting a lot of power play or PK time either.
Yeah, you know, I mean, all joking aside, your LaRocque comment was a good one because if they have to, you know, have a rest between shifts of what basically is a rotation of all three other lines,
yeah,
that's a probably good idea. But in all seriousness, it's I think it is difficult for that group because of Spooner. I mean, if you look at his shift chart yesterday, he was sitting for a long time, and he did it. Like, you know, you should be. If you're Spooner and you're against the other team's fourth line, you should be able to make hay. I mean, in all honesty, he should be the most skilled guy out there against the fourth line. This is a guy who, not too terribly long ago, was putting up 40-plus points. So it's tough because you don't play a lot, and I do think Hitchcock will try to find a way, but he also has to show more. He really, in my opinion, he hasn't shown a lot so far.
Jujhar, you know, last year, 11 goals, I think it was 11 or 12. And, you know, I think there were higher hopes. You know, I think there were some that even thought maybe at times he could rise up to a third line center. And, you know, there's moments where you're like, God, this guy's skilled. And I've talked to guys on the team who said he's so skilled. But he just, there's not enough being accomplished. Would that be a fair assessment of a guy that, does he have a higher ceiling than he's shown? And B, is he not showing enough to maybe not even be in the lineup moving forward?
Well, I think those are two great questions. Number one, I did think Hitchcock would be good for him. So the fact that he's gone the other way, or at least he's still not out of the doldrums, I think is a tell. Secondly, I think he's quietly reached a point where there is a pressure point coming. And I don't know when it is going to be. Maybe it's Zikov, maybe it's somebody else. But they need goals, and they need to have parts they can switch out. And right now, Kara is, I like him on the penalty kill. I thought he was really good with Ryan Strome. Strome isn't here anymore. On the fourth line, he had a 10 bell chance last night. I so wish he could have buried it, but he didn't. So, I mean, I guess you hope that he, you know, comes out of it. But, you know, you're right. Last year was a really fine year, but he needed to build on it. And so many times teams like the Oilers, and I'm not trying to call them a losing team, but teams like the Oilers who have struggled to have their young players develop and then flourish and then become productive players, this is the time when they use them or lose them. When a new coach comes in, there's maybe a different style. Even before Hitchcock got here, he was struggling, and you have to continue that. You have to be good and then get better and then get better, because let's face it, if he had a season where he scored 22 points this year, Kara would be pretty good bet for a 5 or 6 year NHL career no matter what else happened. But now, I mean, with him being so poor so far, you're starting to maybe reevaluate, and I think he's in a tough spot right now because I don't think Hitchcock thinks of him as a guy he can maybe, you know, move up if there's an injury in game or ask something of that he, you know, maybe doesn't do. I don't think he'd get a power play look in front of the net or anything like that. And it's too bad because I do think he has some range of skills, and I like that he's, you know, Jujhar Kara is a bit of he's a little mean, and the Oilers could use more of that. And so I like him a lot as a player.
Yeah, you know, and it's really tough because I think when a new coach, I've only been through one coach transition, but you want to make the fastest impression possible on that coach, and a positive one, right? Because he's Hitchcock's going through this really quick. He's trying to figure out who can I trust, who can I move up, and I just think Jujhar's missed a window here, and now it's going to be a little bit harder now for him to work his way into the kind of that mainstream play. And when I look at what Drake's done, Drake Kajula, a guy that I've been at times critical of, he's kind of got a little bit of, you know, not crazy in his game, but he's being a little bit nasty. And I think Jujhar could do the same thing. And I don't think it's a big stretch for him because he is big and strong and he can skate. And then that'll maybe open up his skill part of the game. But he's trying to do skill, but he's not really being physical. It's like, I don't think he really knows who or what he wants to be.
Yeah, and he's in between. You know, you make a great point. Kajula has, you know, I think he got, you know, pumped off the McDavid line, which, you know, sometimes that's a bad thing, and you know, just kind of circle in the bowl sort of thing. But he didn't do that. The last two games, he's been very aggressive. He drove to the net, and the first goal was a lot about him in the game last night. And you know, that's, for me, that's a real positive. I worry about him. He's not a big guy. He's never played 82 straight games without injury. But you can't be critical of how well he played last night. That's as good a game as I think you're going to get from him. On the other side of it, we've seen Kara way better. And I think your point is well, I think he's between the play a lot, and he doesn't get a lot of touches either. The puck's not on his stick very much and very often, and he doesn't put it in a very good place at times. And so maybe it's a confidence thing. Maybe he's not sure what they want from him, which is always a bad thing. But I really believe he's a good player, but he hasn't shown it this year. And we're getting to 25 games into the year now.
Last one for you, and we know who's going to play a goal tomorrow, but if it was your team, you're the coach, who would you play tomorrow?
I would play the Finn, and I'll only say this. I'll play him because I think these games are really important.
Yeah.
Beat Vegas, and then you're within, what, a point of them with two games in hand. But, I'm not selling Talbot down the river. I think he's a guy who's, you know, they're going to need him. If they're going to make the playoffs, they're going to need Cam Talbot. So, but I think these games, and the crazy thing is the gigantic goaltender has come through for them. I mean, when he let that third goal in last night, I was like, oh my God. But he got lucky, right? And sometimes you need that. And so I think you run with him, the Pacific, you just can't afford to lose too many games. I think they're 2-3-1 now. If they win Saturday, they're 3-3-1, and that looks a lot better because, you know, some of these teams, Vegas is coming on, Calgary's coming on, San Jose's sputtering a little, but they look like a pretty good team. You don't want to lose sight of five teams. You know, if you can get in there and where Anaheim and Vegas are right now and maybe get to third in the Pacific by Christmas time, then you've got a story to tell, and maybe you can even add. But this is a really important stretch, and they've done well 3-1-1. They win tomorrow night, and now you've got a little bit more momentum coming into December.
100%. Thank you very much for this, Low Tide. We will talk to you next week.
You know, I want to thank you when you were talking about, Giants. I thought you were talking about me, and I just want to thank you for not mentioning me personally. I really appreciate it.
It's you and Bruce McCurdy. Those are the two Giants I'm standing on.
Hey, did you hear McCurdy wanted to call the veteran, the Brozniak line, the flat line?
Why is it flatline?
Well, because they're flatlining. They don't score. They don't give anything up. It's just flat. I thought that was pretty funny.
Actually, for McCurdy, that's like Ronnie Dangerfield level for Bruce McCurdy.
That's the joke of the decade from him. So.
Good night. We'll see you later, buddy.
All right, buddy. Have a good weekend.